Alrighty, everyone, welcome to the Barça Blaugranas podcast. My name is Josh. Today we have a very special episode. I am going to be joined by Emil Avanesian, a writer for hardwoodhype.com and Barça Blaugranas. He lives in Barcelona, moved out there late last year. And so we're going to talk about life in Barcelona, how things have changed, how the local fan base is kind of perceiving the way that FC Barcelona are reacting to things, a potential return to football at some point, and the problems around that and more. So be sure to check out Emil's stuff at hardwoodhype on Twitter and hardwoodhype.com. And let's get into the interview. Side notes. So there is a little bit of lag. I think going from, you know, my location in the US to Barcelona, for some reason, there was just a little bit of latency this morning when we recorded. So hopefully it's not too bad. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to y'all next time. Alrighty, I am joined by Emil Avanesian. He is the editor and founder of Hardwood Hype and occasional contributor to Barça Blaugranas. Emil, how are we doing?
Well, Josh, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. So we wanted to have you on. You have written some wonderful pieces for your sites. Specifically, the piece I wanted to point out, and we'll talk about it later, is you've done a pretty cool series on Messi and the hat-tricks. People can check that out at hardwoodhype.com, as well as your Twitter at hardwoodhype. So you are located in Barcelona, correct?
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, I'm originally from LA, and then I, you know, in 05, I moved to New York for a little over 14 years. And then 6 months ago, actually, my wife and I relocated to Barcelona, and we did the whole thing, like the visa process and everything else, and just relocated to Barcelona.
Well, you picked an interesting time to move there. Did you get like a taste of life in Barcelona before all this hit? I guess you probably would have had like a month and a half.
No, we actually had a little bit more. So we arrived at the end of October, and sort of the official kind of lockdown happened on March 13th. So we had about 3.5 months. The last week and a half here, it was starting to get sort of a little touch and go, but not, it wasn't anything sort of panicky or, you know, kind of, you know, anything too wild. But I'd say maybe from the second week of March on, everyone started getting sort of a little bit more, I don't know, just, I guess, aware of the inevitable, kind of what was coming, and that we were going to have to do some sort of show. So the good thing is we had December, January, and February, and so we were able to really kind of soak it up for a little over 3 months.
Sure. When did it start to feel different? Like, was there specific action that was put in place, or did, like, I guess you said kind of the feeling around the city started to change? Like, did life change before you kind of realized it was hitting, or did you kind of know it was coming before action actually started taking place?
So we kind of knew. I mean, it was in the sense that, so to give you an idea, the night before lockdown, which I guess lockdown officially started here, I guess it was Friday the 13th of March.
Ironically.
Yeah, right. And but that Thursday night, we were actually out. We had, you know, we had drinks. We kind of, we walked around, went out for dinner, everything. Like, it was just, by and large, like, it was, you maybe could say that the foot traffic on the streets was just a tad lighter, but it wasn't anything crazy. And then the next day, my wife went to the grocery store, and she texted me from the grocery store saying, like, hey, it's kind of a madhouse here. You might want to get in here, because we might need to do a sort of a huge shopping trip. So I hustled over there and everything. And then the news kind of broke that afternoon. Just someone, like a local guy here that we're friends with, ended up chatting with him that afternoon. And the word came down, and 5 o'clock on that Friday, the 13th, everyone was ordered to shut down. So what had preceded that was, Madrid, you know, so sort of in the context of Spain, the most hard hit area was Madrid. And, you know, apparently the situation there until recent weeks, was really, really bad. And also we kept kind of hearing regularly and seeing all the news reports and sort of the accounts out of Italy, you know, sort of, you know, Milan being the sort of the epicenter there. And so just the idea that, you know, kind of where we're situated, We just kind of figured that it was either inevitable that COVID was going to kind of break out here, or at the very least, if we didn't have a massive outbreak, we'd still probably have to do something just to try to nip it in the bud.
Sure. And like, I guess how are people there viewing Barcelona, the football club's reaction to everything? Because I know, like, at first there was the weird controversy around, like, you know, players taking wage cuts, and then like Messi made some veiled comments. Like, how are locals viewing the club's reaction to things?
And I think the odd thing is that your access to my access to locals has kind of been you know, it's sort of been choked off.
Yeah, because that's fair.
Stuck at home. Yeah, but sort of what I can gather, just because I do pick up the local papers every so often and read those, and I'll read stuff online and stuff. I mean, I think by and large, I think the whole situation upstairs at the club has been sort of murky and messy for, you know, no pun intended, kind of a little murky for a while. You know, with Bartomeu and the wave of monumentally large signings that have simply not worked out and are going to have to be, you know, sold at bargain basement prices and stuff like that. So I think it's already, there's a little bit of an eye roll and sort of an acknowledgement that charge aren't, you know, perhaps, the ideal people for the job.
Sure.
And, I mean, I think the team itself, the players themselves, the way that Messi came out, and I think it was, like you said, I mean, he made the veiled comments, but he also sort of just attacked the whole question head on and sort of said that, no, we're not being told what to do. We've been talking about this ourselves. No one's actually, you know, we're not sitting here trying to hoard our wages and, you know, having these guys tell us what to do. Like, we've actually already been talking about this. And I mean, I think, like, generally, it's one, I think it would be kind of in line with what you'd expect Messi to say. I mean, maybe the shots at the board were a little bit more aggressive than you'd expect. But otherwise, I mean, I think it's in character with kind of who he's always been presented as being and who he's always been. And I mean, I think he'd have to go such a long way for any kind of he said, she said situation to not fall Leo's way.
Sure. Has anything started to, like, I guess with the football club, like, are people, and I guess you included in this, obviously, like, has the discussion kind of shifted from, like, when is football returning towards, like, transfer stuff yet? Or is it still kind of like the discussions mainly around, like, when's football returning? Because I know, like, in the coverage around a lot of things, the, you know, when are things returning on the pitch has, it's like, it's still there, but it's not nearly as prevalent as it was early on, because I still think people are playing it like day to day kind of thing. Like, are people still talking about, like, Neymar every day, or are you kind of like feeling kind of the when is football returning weight is still there, and that's the main storyline?
I think it's twofold. I'd say it's probably overwhelmingly, or I'd say at least majority, sort of when is it coming back and what is it going to look like when it does? Because I think it's been roughly, is it a week, give or take? I mean, maybe 5-6 days or something since the players have been able to go back to training. And they had there was the news about what the protocols would entail. So it was, I mean, I guess there's everything from the guys go to the stadium, the first time they go, or I think they get tested every time they go, or the first time they go, and, you know, periodically thereafter. And there's everything from the car that you use to go to the stadium the first time must be the car that you use every subsequent time you go back. And I guess no one's showering and changing at the stadium yet, so you have to show up in your training gear, train, get in your car, and go home. And so, I mean, I think there was so much around that kind of, you know, what is this going to look like? Now there's, you know, there's sort of all these ongoing debates about kind of what's it going to look like when it comes back. I mean, I think there's no sort of Premier League style, I guess,
set in stone
date.
Yeah.
And even like the idea of like, they're not talking about doing some sort of like large, you know, all the players in some sort of camp and, you know, all 20 teams hang out there or something. I mean, I think by and large, it would probably just be a simple quote unquote behind closed door situation. So Javier Tebas, the president of La Liga, I think he'd initially hoped, he'd said something. My recollection is that he had initially said that he hoped to have La Liga back up and running by June the 12th. Now the most recent thing that I've heard is that, you know, if the numbers keep improving, and, you know, knock on wood, the numbers have improved pretty drastically in kind of across Spain. Catalonia and Barcelona itself, from what I can gather, wasn't terribly hard hit. It was a lot more sort of the surrounding regions of Catalonia. And then, you know, sort of there was Madrid and I think Valencia was hit a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And provided the numbers keep trending in the right direction and things like that. But what I'm hearing now is tentatively June 20th. Now that's unsubstantiated, you know, sure. What I mean? But that's kind of the latest sort of trial balloon that's been thrown out there. Having said sort of the newspapers, so whether it's Mundo Deportivo or, you know, there's Marca and AS and Sport and all of them, they still sort of are sharing their headlines between when's football coming back and transfer rumors.
Yeah.
It's predominantly Neymar and Lautaro. Mm-hmm. And then there's questions of sort of what do we do with like these ultra expensive, not quite working out situations.
Yeah.
Mainly, you know, Coutinho and
Dembele, I guess.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And,
I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. So like, and I guess like you mentioned, you're an NBA guy before we started recording. Like, I think one of the interesting things to me is like, I think Adam Silver, it was either reported or something. Someone said basically like, how are we going to react? Like basically like if there's a positive case, like how is that going to impact returning? Like you have to assume that's going to happen. And so like if your plan like entails all these, like you mentioned all the precautions that they're planning to take, like in terms of showering at the stadium or the same car you drive. And I guess like the entire plan can't revolve around like all those precautions should be there, but it can't be there under the assumption that you're not going to have one positive case. Because if you get one positive case and then you're like, guess we're shutting it down. That just seems like such a waste of time to me. And so I'm interested to see, and again, like all the sports leagues here in the US are still trying to figure all that crap out. And I'm fascinated to see how they plan for that and if they even acknowledge it or if they just think they can actually keep it out of the league completely, which would just seem ridiculous to me.
And I think I agree with you there. I mean, I think the level of wishful thinking, just to assume that simply by taking, you know, good, necessary precautions, that you can completely eliminate the risk of this actually, you know, afflicting, you know, because there's players, there's, you know, training staff, there's coaches, and, you know, even to play a game in an empty stadium requires probably, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I imagine at the very least it requires dozens of people to just get the stadium into some sort of shape where you can play a competitive game. And so, you know, I feel like on some level it would just be inevitable that someone connected with the game or connected with a club would be, would probably end up testing positive at some point. I mean, you hope not, but
yeah. I mean, I think six players have already tested positive in La Liga. There was a report from
it was Sport. All the Valencia guys.
Was it okay? Yeah, because the thing I saw was like a week early. Ago.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if there's been any subsequent. I know sort of the because so one thing that they've said too is if you recall, so the week before, I guess the week before everything shut down, before football kind of stopped and before Spain shut down. Valencia had played a Champions League game in Italy against Atalanta, mm-hmm. and they actually played it in Milan.
Yeah.
And so like 3,500 Valencia fans traveled to Milan, which was the hardest hit city in Italy with COVID, and then came home.
Yeah.
And so So, I mean, in the aftermath of that, I think there was like three or four guys on the Valencia team that were that tested positive. There haven't been any. So nobody on Barcelona or Espanyol, and, you know, as far as I've been following, there haven't been any first division cases that I've read about. And excuse me if I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, I think that changed. So, like, last week there was a report from Sport that said five La Liga players had tested positive. And I think that was from RAC1. I don't know if there have been subsequent reports on that. I think they said that the Barcelona, they did confirm that no player from Barca had tested positive. And then I think three players from La Liga and two players from Segunda tested positive. So again, like, if your plan revolves around no one testing positive, like, that's already changed. And they're still all at home and, you know, some are training. But I don't know, man. I really don't know how they resume under any assumption that, like, people aren't going to get it. I don't know.
I mean, the something else that I read, I mean, it just kind of either last night or this morning, was that kind of committed to the fact. So, I mean, I guess right now the whole plan is to salvage what you can to avoid having to give back TV money. And so, I mean, I guess the La Liga has tentatively sort of committed to or embraced the idea that fans in stadiums won't be a thing until at least the start of 2021. Mm-hmm. I mean, not next season, but presumably January 2021. And so that's kind of, and I mean, so much of this is so kind of wait and see, because, I mean, we keep talking about it. I mean, it's like the running, almost like the running internet joke too. It's like, it's only been 2 months since we shut down. It's like every week brings some sort of seismic shift in what we know and what we think we know, and kind of, you know, how long we think this is going to go on.
Yeah. Is there even like an excitement for return of football, or is it kind of just like everyone's so consumed with like what's right in front of them? Is that even being like, I guess, is there like some sort of buzz at this point, or it's probably still too far off to even have a buzz?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's as much as anything. I mean, to have it back as sort of as a, I guess, as an entertainment diversion, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, the one thing, and I can only sort of speak to Barcelona and specifically the neighborhood that we live in, is that by and large, like, everyone has been kind of playing ball with lockdown. You know, I mean, it was when it was full lockdown, you can't go for walks or anything like that. I mean, it legitimately, unless you were going to a pharmacy or a grocery store, it was a legitimate ghost town. And then they've relaxed things over the last couple of weeks a little bit. Like, kids can go out with their parents. That was permitted about a week. I said, oh, no, I mean, that was maybe 2 weeks ago. And then I'd say about a week and a half ago, the windows were opened up where people could go for walks. So, based on sort of your age and certain, like, you know, things like that, you can either go we can go in the morning and in the evening. And really, you notice outside of these time slots, people really are kind of following, like, they're taking all of these precautions and all of these rules really seriously, you know. And you don't see people, you see a lot of people on their balconies hanging out. I mean, like, my wife and I refer to going out as taking a bottle of wine out onto the balcony. And we've made friends with, like, we've gotten to know the neighborhood, you know, like, just because there's a building full of balconies across the street, and we've gotten to know our neighbors and the kids across the street, and, you know, things like that. But so in that sense, sort of, I mean, I think everyone's taking every precaution necessary, and nobody wants to sort of, you know, jump the gun and blow it. And like I said, I mean, particularly, I think Barcelona hasn't, from what I can gather. So, I mean, a lot of times they don't even break out the Barcelona numbers. They'll just do Catalonia as a whole, which, if anything, kind of seems encouraging, because if Barcelona was bad, they would presumably break out specifically the largest city. But so it seems like kind of the wave that hit here wasn't terribly bad. And I think everyone's kind of cognizant of that and doesn't want a retroactive, you know, hotspot here.
Sure.
I mean, I think everyone's willing to just kind of wait. you know, more or less kind of as long as it takes. You know what I mean? It was, and everyone's kind of going to be excited. There's news that it's coming back and things like that. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's, if anything, too, the talk of it coming back is, at least for me, I get kind of a boost from it as a sign that things might be improving. The fact that they're even able to entertain such ideas rather than strictly talking about, the tragic kind of the death numbers or infection numbers and things like that. And we're able to even actually consider sort of phases of life post-lockdown. I just take that as sort of as an broadly, but if we have to wait an extra month or two to watch football, like that'll suck, but it's for the greater good.
Yeah, sure. And so I've been asking everyone this, Neymar or Lautaro, if you have to pick one.
I am like Neymar fan, and the fact that he sort of was so perfectly attuned to Messi, and they played together so well, and I think also the not even there yet, because like Messi still scored more than a goal per game, I believe, this past season, but kind of as Messi's game transitions at some point in the future, he's invariably going to be the greatest playmaker in the world, probably, at that point. And the fact that Neymar is so talented, he's a great goal scorer, so skilled, and the two of them have worked together in the past and have a genuine affinity for one another, I'm kind of leaning Neymar. Lautaro is a fantastic player, but what kind of bothers me is and I don't want to put everything on the doorstep of kind of the suits and the current regime, but I look at Lautaro and I'm like, okay, so we've had, there's been a Coutinho, there's been a Dembele, there's been Malcolm, and now there's the Arthur to Juventus rumors, and there seems to be no shortage of optimistic big money signings that come in, and whether the guys that are selecting them are screwing it up or kind of the coaching and the system and whatever, or fitting in with Messi is not working out, whatever it is. I mean, there's just been a long string of swings and misses. At the very least, Neymar is sort of, he's a generational talent, and he has thrived here, and as far as both the media environment and fitting in with Messi, and both of them are essentially kind of writing each other love letters in the press every chance they get. So I would I would lean that way.
Yeah. The more I think about it, I think the more I agree with you, is that like there are a few, I actually can't literally think of one player who would be more of a surefire signing at that price point, or even close to that price point than Neymar, because you've already seen it work. Lautaro is like a better long-term prospect, obviously, but like you said, like if you're trying to maximize the next like 3 years of Messi's career, there aren't really any players I would rather have than Neymar.
And I mean, I think the thing with that is I think it would maximize the next 3 years of Messi's career. Presumably, if we use kind of 3 years as the point of like sort of the tenure that Messi has left as this absolute sort of peak, like, time bending genius. And then beyond that, I think, I think the way Messi plays, he's, even as a little bit of his pace has gone, he hasn't lost that much, but as he's lost, a little bit of his pace, you just see him, he's the greatest passer ever, and he's the greatest sort of seer of angles ever. And so I think in addition to those three prime years, I think it would allow for, sort of a lengthy stint, probably kind of as long as Messi would want, as sort of a midfield, a pseudo midfield puppeteer type. And I think it would almost open the door too to, and I know it's not sort of the Barca, sort of the quote Barca way, but you could almost just get like a big, kind of big in the box, sort of a traditional old school striker, poacher type. Because mm-hmm. I think Messi would, Neymar would cut so much of the wing play and things like that and create width, and he could create space in the box for just a big dude who scores a ton of goals.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's all good stuff. Everyone, you can follow Emil at Hardwood Hype on Twitter. Check out his website, hardwoodhype.com. I've just been browsing it this morning. Some great NBA and football content. Emil, thank you for joining us, and we will be sure to have you on in the future.
Josh, thank you so much. I really, anytime you want to have me back, I am more than happy. And I would say that on Hardwood Hype, actually tonight, the third series of Messi hat tricks is going to go up. But I was a little bit delayed, but it's the third of nine, because thank you to Leo for basically scoring a number of hat tricks that is easily divisible by six. So absolute pleasure.
There we go. And I will, I'm going to put a link to the second six of the Messi hat trick series in the post, and be sure to check that out, everyone. Thanks for listening.